Is there a difference between the development of understanding and the arising of understanding? Or is it just one and the same thing? Could we use arising instead of development?
Of because panya? It's not the self who is developing so all realities. Like panya right now conditions panya in next moment. If there is no panya right now, it's impossible to have panya develop next moment.
So a moment of dana and sila without right understanding is not the development of understanding.
No, there is still I. Not knowing that they are different realities, different wholesome realities, conditioned to arise just then and fall away, no more. The new one arises by conditions all the time, the new one, not the same one. Is lopa kun susi?
It can't really be.
Is seeing kun susi?
Never, no. Mm-hmm.
So no kun susi at all, only different realities in the day.
On a couple of occasions, there has been some understanding about there is no me, it is just these jittas and jitta seekers. It's a bit like an abyss.
Is it not just thinking that there is no me?
Well, I don't know, really.
So it's not panya. Yeah. It's just the idea that there is no me.
When lopa arises and you know that it is not me, it's different from just thinking abstractly about there being no me.
Yeah, on a couple of occasions it's been, well, I suppose just some realization that there is just this jitters and jitter seeker.
Who is thinking?
I guess it's me. No one else thinking for me.
But if you say is seeing Lodewijk, is hearing Lodewijk or Nina, if we are honest, we say yes, because we have not developed the
right
see?
Or wrong thinking.
It's wrong, but so we are conditioned that
it
way.
It doesn't matter as long as one hasn't experienced the Four Noble Truths yet. It has to be like this.
Like that, yeah. So we cannot honestly say, no, seeing Nina, no. That's not honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it has to develop. If we don't hear what is right, and if understanding doesn't begin to develop, then it will never know.
I understand what you mean, but it's not honest to say, no, it's not Nina.
Yeah.
Or Ludwig, so then it's more honest to say, yes. However, if you go on thinking, it's me, it's me, it's me, without considering what we're hearing and discussing here, then
it'll just
move not a
further
chance.
Or further away.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Lola, I find that a difficult thing.
Because it's still I.
Yes.
I am studying, I'm hearing, I'm considering, always I. But when it's Dhamma, not I, then we begin to understand Dhamma. That's why people have different objectives to study. One study because of oneself, want to be, to understand, to know for oneself. And the other just want to understand, not for oneself. To understand reality as it is, and know what is right and what is wrong understanding. Otherwise, when wrong understanding arises, panya cannot understand that it's wrong. Like when intention arises, try to concentrate or try to understand. Without panya, one follows that. But when it's panya, one knows that that is not the path, that's not the way.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the intention will keep arising as long as there is the accumulated tendency for
so panya can understand intention as a reality.
As a reality.
Everything, not self. Mm. And panya can know that little by little.
Yes, there's also a strong tendency when these other tendencies are recognized as being unwholesome tendencies to want them to stop, to be cut off. But again, that is perhaps not appreciating the nature of realities, how they are non-self, they keep arising, if not next moment, then the moment after that.
Does anyone want to become enlightened?
Yes.
She's truthful, you know.
So where is Lopa?
Right there.
But can one say it without Lopa, perhaps? It's the goal of the Buddha's teaching.
Just have the understanding of reality right now, on and on and on. That's the way to eliminate Lopa, which is so very powerful. Keeps everyone in the limit or boundary of Lopa. Don't go away.
as you said the last night, imprisoned in the cage.
Yeah. In the cage,
The glue.
I like in the cage.
Even to have right understanding, Lopa doesn't let anyone has it.
Any object.
That's why one can see even in a Dhamma discussion how common Lopa is, arising all the time.
Even to have right understanding, see, just that.
Just to grasp the meaning of this term, anything, anytime. Something Jonathan reminded me when he mentioned something about strong defilement, strong kalesa, and a friend mentioned about strong gross kalesa. He thinks, well, maybe it's okay for all of us to hear about seeing invisible object and namas and rupas, but maybe we don't have such strong kalesa or such gross defilements as he has.
Kind of, it means about transgression, severe transgression.
Right, like for example, breaking precepts and causing trouble to his family life.
That's
or something. And your comment was, what's happened's happened, or what's gone is gone, which is true. But his response was, well, the Buddha told Raula to reflect on the implications of deeds before, during and after them. So he thinks that actually just to say, well, it's gone and forget it, is not following the Buddha's advice.
Did he say that one should know even the very, very weak akusala too? Because how come the great one without the tiny one or the very weak one?
Well, one could say that if the gross ones aren't really known and aren't prevented,
how
then no chance of the subtle ones.
Yeah, but how can it come to be the great one without the very tiny one?
Must accumulate. Yeah. So when the Buddha told Raula to reflect on the implications of deeds before, during and after them, isn't this just...
With Panya.
With Panya. Mm-hmm. But isn't this thinking about what's gone?
It does mean that after one has done something wrong, and then one was so sorry about it, useless. But right understanding can understand how bad it is and will never do it again, instead of just cry.
And also he quoted something that you wrote in a book which he thought sounded very unlike you, and I must say when he said it I had a bit the same reaction. This is quoting what you said, each time we give something away we should know whether as a consequence... This is the way anyway it's been translated. Each time we give something away we should know whether as a consequence few kusala cheetahs and many akusala cheetahs or more kusala than kusala arise. Because usually you just say, well, just give and it's kusala, no need to think about it. But here it was saying we should know whether as a consequence or a little bit of kusala or a lot of a kusala or vice versa before one gives.
Is that not panya, which knows or which can know?
Well, usually there isn't knowing, but also if one's thinking about, well, as a consequence of the giving, whether there's going to be regret after.
You say that it's not just thinking, it's the understanding.
Mm-hmm. Understanding of what?
Mm-hmm. Reality.
Understanding of kusala and akusala. But it seems a little different from if you say, oh, well, if you give away this, you should know whether afterwards whether there will be regret or whether there'll be more kusalas.
I don't get it yet.
No. What it sounded like, it said that you said that when we give something away, we should know that as a result of giving this object away, whether it will be followed by more kusala or more akusala. It seems a bit strange.
I think that we cannot know the future.
So. No.
But we can understand the moment, which is the moment of giving.
And we can understand that whether we're giving because we want someone to like us or usually understand our motivation for giving.
That is panya, which can understand oneself better. Otherwise one cannot eliminate the akusala. It's there all the time. Mm-hmm. But when there is understanding, one can see that it's not for that sake, that it's for the sake of the receivers, for the benefit of the receivers only, not for oneself. So it can be the pure dana.
Mm-hmm. With regard to sila, we're always talking about sila at the moment of all kinds of kusala. Whenever there's kusala, it's sila. And then suddenly you'll say something like sila can be akusala also.
Akusala sila.
Akusala sila.
Kusala sila and avayakata sila.
But what about akusala?
Akusala. What is sila first? Behavior.
But usually we say behavior with any kusala chitta.
When it's motivated by akusala, it is akusala, sila. Because without speech and deeds, how can we know citta, whether it's kusala or akusala? But through speech and deeds, one can see that it's motivated by what kind of citta. When one is moving hand to reach something, akusala sila. Because sila is the behavior of deeds of body and speech. Oh,
more general sense. Uh-huh. I thought you meant when one refrains from killing out of
that is kusala.
Akusala reason, though.
We talk about just the three kinds of sila. Kusala, akusala, and apayagata, according to three types of citta, or three categories divided.
But then in most contexts, you will say, there's sila at moments of dana, at moments of samatha, at moments of vipassana.
According to the book like Visuddhimagga, no akusala sila mentioned at all. But in sutta, it's there. Akusala sila, kusala sila, apayagata sila. Because the arahata's speech and deeds cannot be kusala. But it is apayagata. And for the person who is not the arahata, it is the kusala, sila.
But doesn't that create a problem if we define sila as arising with all kusala, or it just depends on the context?
Depends on context. Mm. Many people haven't heard about the akusala sila because it is a sutta.
Yes, I haven't actually seen the suttas. Have you seen the suttas which refer to akusala sila, Nina? Can you think of any?
No, but I learned long ago.
With paticca samuppada and the five khandhas, is paticca samuppada a process of nama and rupa? And the five khandhas, it talks about past, present and future. So it is still just nama and rupa, isn't it?
I mean, you have to understand what paticca samuppada mean first. Kunina, please.
Being in the cycle of life, the conditions why we are now being in the and the khandhas are arising and falling away, and so long as this happens, we are in the cycle.
Yeah.
So
it's like the
that
process.
Sankhara conditions, vijnana, vipaka. We are at it now, at the moment.
Yes.
Long paragraphs. So the kusala karma, the akusala karma, and arupa jhana, imperturbable karma. These three conditions, vipaka, appropriately. And that is vijnana, and vijnana is not only rebirth consciousness, but also vipaka during our life, in the course of life. Kusala vipaka, akusala vipaka. And then it goes on how vijnana conditions, nama and rupa, that is cetasika, and the rupas which arise. And then it conditions feeling and clinging, and so we go on in this cycle, but if panya is developed, there will be an end to it.
Okay.
Literally, it means the dependent origination.
Yeah.
It means that without this, there will never be that. Or whenever there is this, there must be that.
And if there is not this, there won't be that. That is
so it's
end.
Like a complete explanation of samsara.
Of paccaya. Conditions. Yeah. With our condition, nothing can arise.
No.
For example, usually in a day we don't think about avicca. We think about kusala and akusala, right?
Mm-hmm.
Without avicca, there will never be kusala or akusala at all. So whenever there is still avicca, there must be kusala and akusala. Does arahata have kusala and akusala?
No.
Because there is no avicca. So avicca conditions the kusala and akusala.
Even the kusala, but not right at that moment.
And does paticca samuppada cover all conditions or just some? All conditions?
Because we cannot simply say that this condition this, but we have to know by what type
so it,
of conditions.
It
yeah,
off
yeah.
More
we
more
cannot
complex.
Simply say avicca condition kusala. Or avicca can condition akusala by what paccaya?
Like a natural strong dependence, avicca conditions kusala, but pakat upanisaya paccaya. So we had to go over all the 24 conditions in this Visuddhimagga study before we could go on.
Yes, it's very complex.
Okay, we can say, according to Patijasamuppada, and which are conditions, kusala and akusala, but how and why?
Yeah, okay. Yes,
there should be more understanding than just follow the words.
Because A conditions B could have a very wide range of meaning.
Mm. It's almost like avijja conditions, kusala, akusala, but that's just the heading.
It shows that as long as there is avijja, all good deeds must bring result. So it can be only kusala, not kriya.
Because you can do kusala and you hope for a happy reverse. So kusala is kusala, but there can also be the wish for a happy reverse coming in. Mm. And that's conditioned by ignorance.
So all lokutra citta is not the paticca-samuppada. Because paticca-samuppada originate life and circle of birth and death, but lokutra is different.
So that's not included in it?
Lokutra citta.
So it's like licking a knife smeared with honey and it hurts your tongue, or jumping over a cliff because you think you will see something like a beautiful fairy because of ignorance.
Or it can be a reminder that as long as there is avijja, not knowing or understanding realities as they are, no matter how good or kusala deeds have been done, it's only done by avijja as a condition to bring the result of that deeds.
And that's why, for me, that to develop understanding, it seems to be the most important thing, because it's ignorance that is the cause of it all. So the opposite of ignorance is knowledge. And if there's not the right knowledge, then it just continues on
just
again and again.
Just encouraging the cycle to go on and on. And that's why when Suchin says, well, no personal, and it's the truth, it's the truth. And it may not seem gentle, but otherwise it's just perpetuating the cycle on and on.
You like gentle dukkha.
If you had to define harsh or gentle speech, how would you define it?
Depends on citta, kusala or akusala.
No matter how others may respond or like it or don't like it at all.
Because even it's very pretty word, it depends on the person who interprets.
Always comes back to one's own interpretation, one's own cheating.
One might think that it's sarcastic or something like that.
It was interesting, a year ago there were some discussions and it was quite controversial and everyone interpreted it in different ways. Some liked it a lot, some didn't like it, some thought it's gentle, some think it's harsh. So again, we can see it just comes back to one's own way of thinking, and we can really only know for ourselves.
But the purpose of discussion is to bring about understanding only, not to be favorite or unfavorite.
Not to be popular, not to get praise. So when it comes to harsh, gentle speech, and it just depends on the citta only, so regardless of what is said or the topic or whether it's even Dharma or not Dharma, again, it's just the citta, that's all one can say. Otherwise, one's thinking of a situation again.
And actually one always thinks about oneself.
Yes, what one likes, what one doesn't.
What did other people think about you? And it's only your own thought about the situation.
So even it's just some lines, like someone reading a sutta, for example. One person might say, oh, he read it very gently and beautifully, and another very harshly, whatever. But we don't know the cheetahs. Again, it's just one's own thinking or one's own interpretation at that time.
Of course, one's own reception of it. What arose on the hearing of
it. If one liked it, one thinks, oh, it's very beautifully said. And if one doesn't like it, one thinks it's harshly said.
If it's just the citta, then does it mean that there's no point in learning about ways of gentle speech?
For what? For more understanding or no understanding or just clinging to praise or yourself?
Just because of an idea of developing more kusala as a...
What is the best kusala?
The best kusala is understanding of the reality of
the
present
moment.
And as soon as one goes further from that, one's thinking of a situation?
Because usually one keeps on thinking that one lives with the world and people, but actually one lives alone with one's own thinking about everything, because you cannot share your citta with the others at all. Just a moment of seeing who join in your seeing moment. So no one at all, only in your thinking, in your dream about people and things. And then it's time to depart from all you think that it belongs to you.
And I think that if we're honest, when we have ideas about developing more kutsala, it's usually with an idea of
mine
and
or the other person's. But what about just thinking about the other? There's no being, no other person at all. What about that very citta that you take for your citta, your own self, not the others, one at a time? So one can talk about clinging to wrong view, to the idea of self, but it's not the moment which panya is there and see how clinging is there to even rupa or anything which appears as yours, nothing else. For example, thinking about there is no visible object, no sound, nothing at all, but citta is there, that faculty of experiencing an object. Whatever appears, citta clings. It's me. That's why there are 20 sakkaya ditti.
20?
Sakkaya ditti.
For each of the five khandhas.
Ah, yes.
You know?
Right, four.
Each of the five khandhas.
Four for each. So that's 20.
Is there anyone in the rupa? This is one of the sakkaya ditti. Something in the rupa. Many people now in the visible object.
That's a good example.
So it shows that there is always sakkaya ditti when there is no understanding of each reality as different reality.
With the rupa, it's understandable, but when we say the nama in the rupa in the nama, it gets very complicated.
Okay, don't try, but whenever it arises, panya is there. But when it's the self and ignorance, it's impossible.
One of my questions I had, I actually had 22 sakkaya ditti. I must have misheard somewhere.
In the sutta, it's always 20.
When you say it's always there, the tendency is always there, but of course, most of the time, it's just attachment or just ignorance. There isn't wrong view arising most of the time, but what you mean when you say it's always there, you mean the tendency to that
and
idea.
It's only when panya is there that one can tell
what it
that
is.
That exact moment, whether it's with wrong view or without wrong.